Last week we began looking at this fifth chapter of Revelation, and we will continue in that chapter today. Thank you to Carol for reading that chapter for us again. It's quite a vision that John has had. And for you and I to picture this in our mind, Jesus is on the throne with God. Both of them are being worshiped by the inhabitants of heaven. The four living creatures are giving them worship. The 24 elders are worshiping them and falling down before them. The angels are singing songs of worship to them. Thousands upon thousands, the scripture says. 10,000 times 10,000. It's a wonderful scene of worship that John sees. And there's something that is mentioned in verse 8 that I don't want to let slip through the cracks. It says that the four living creatures and the 24 elders are each holding in their hands golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And that stood out to me this week as I read through this chapter again. Your prayers and my prayers make it all the way to the throne of God. Sometimes we may feel like our prayers aren't getting any higher than the ceiling, but that's not the case at all. Our prayers make it all the way to heaven, and they are hand-delivered to the Father as a fragrant aroma or offering to Him. He cares about what we care about. Your prayer for healing is heard by Him. Maybe you have a wayward child and you are lifting that child up in prayer. Please know that your prayer is heard by God. The prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective, says James chapter 5. If you're praying for a lost soul to be saved, know for sure that your prayer is being heard by God. Your prayer is making a difference. Keep on praying to Him. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Your prayers are making it all the way to the throne of God. And once they are there in His hands, then all we can do is trust Him. I like that song by Michael W. Smith entitled Waymaker. There's a line in the chorus that says, "Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working." And that is so true. He is working to bring about answers to our prayers. Now, does that mean that He will always answer our prayers the way we want Him to? No. But we can trust Him to do the right thing. We can know that He is in control. He will be with us. And He will always be working things to His glory and for our good. What we need to do is simply trust Him. Something else I talked about last week, the fact that Jesus' victory at Calvary assures us of His victory at Armageddon. In God's hands, there was a scroll. John is invited to come into heaven. He's given this vision, and he sees God on the throne. And God has in His hands this scroll. And there's writing on the scroll, inside and out. And there is an angel that is crying out, "Who is worthy to open the scroll?" And at first it seems like no one was worthy to open the scroll. And John started crying. Verse 4 says, "I wept and wept." This was not a silent kind of cry. In fact, look this up in the Greek dictionary, this was a loud wailing. And this is used more than once in Scripture of those who are weeping for the dead. John was distraught that no one could open the scroll that was in God's hands. But then one of the elders spoke to him, saying, "Don't cry, John. The Lion of the tribe of Judah is able to open the scroll." John looked to see the lion. But what was it that he saw? He saw a lamb standing as if slain, the text says. And of course, we know Jesus was the lamb. And I mentioned to you last week, 30 times in the book of Revelation, this is how Jesus is pictured. He is pictured as a lamb who has come to take away the sins of the world. It's through his sacrifice that he actually won the battle against Satan. He came here to die. And through his death, not only did he redeem us from our sins, but he disarmed the devil of his most potent weapon, which was death. And we looked last week at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. It was a verse that I referenced to you. It says, "Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death." Jesus' victory at Calvary broke the power of the devil. Now, does that mean that Satan has no power at all? No, we know better than that. He is a supernatural enemy, and we need supernatural power to defeat him. And that supernatural power is Jesus. 1 John 4:4 says, "Greater is the one who is in you than the one who is in the world." Jesus is greater than the devil. He disarmed the devil of his most potent weapon, which was death. You see, we all deserve to die because of our sins, but because of what Jesus did on the cross, the price that he paid for sin, you and I can be set free from our sins, and the wages of sin, which was death, has been paid in full. We simply need to put our trust in him. It's through his sacrifice that victory was won. And his victory at Calvary assures us of his coming victory at Armageddon. Now, what I'd like to do is simply make a point of application here. And this is where we jump from last week's message into this week's message. And the point of application is simply this: victory today is not through power, but through sacrificial love. Okay, let put that on, Stacy, if you would, right there on point number three. Okay, you see here, and I think maybe it's in your bulletin, 2 points last week from chapter 5, and 2 more points this week from chapter 5. We're on point number three. Victory today is not through power, but through sacrificial love. And this seems so contrary to what we are accustomed to in the world. How many NFL teams will run out onto the field today with a lamb as their mascot? Can you think of any? I can't think of one. I mean, that just doesn't seem like a good fit in today's world. Can you imagine this as your team's mascot? Go Lambs! It just doesn't seem right, does it? We're looking for something a little more macho than that, something a little more dominant. Like, you know, we have the Chiefs, and certainly we hope they get their game figured out today. We have the Rams. We have the Rams, and we have the Jaguars. We have the bears and the lions. We have the Broncos and the Colts. Even with our high school teams, I don't know of any high school team that has a lamb as their mascot. Do you? We have the Tigers. We have the Wildcats. We have Cotty College. I looked at what their mascot was. You know what it is? The Comets. The Crowder College. Rough Riders. Not the Crowder College Lambs. We have this mindset that lamb power is not very admirable. And yet Jesus has a different mindset. Sacrificial love is greater than a closed fist. Gentleness and tenderness will get you further down the road with someone than a demanding, rough, tough demeanor. I wish I had responded a few weeks ago better than what I did. We had vacationed to Colorado. We had been up into the mountains, Cindy and I, with my brother and his wife. We were on our way back towards Denver, and Highway 70 was closed because of a terrible accident had happened, and they were exiting all of the traffic into this little town called Silverthorne. It's probably an hour west of Denver. And I can tell you for sure, Silverthorne was not prepared for all of the traffic coming off from Highway 70. And we exited, and it was bumper to bumper, standstill kind of traffic. And I didn't want that, and there was this side street here, and I took the side street, and somebody blared on their horn at me. I don't even know why they blared on their horn at me. But I didn't respond back to them. I just left that behind. And this side street took us into a strip mall. And we pulled into this parking lot of the strip mall, and we saw a bathroom sign. And I thought, that's a good spot. You know, and we're gonna be here for a while. And so we parked, and we had access to the public bathroom, and there were some shopping places in this strip mall. And so I went into the famous footwear store. I knew that I had a need for a pair of everyday tennis shoes, and I thought maybe I can find a pair of tennis shoes in this store. And sure enough, I did. I found a pair of shoes my size for the price that I liked. I tried them on. I took some steps, and they fit well. They seemed to fit fine, and so I purchased them. They're in the box. I throw them in the back of the van. That's where they stay until we get home from vacation. So I pulled these tennis shoes out to wear, and I noticed something that I hadn't seen in the store. One of them was missing an insole. I thought, oh, good grief. You know, what am I going to do? I can't return them to the store west of Denver, and so I type into my phone internet, Famous Footwear, and I see a customer service site, and I send them a note, and I tell them the situation. And they responded right back to me. They said, you have two options. You can exchange, you can find a Famous Footwear store in your area and go and exchange this set of shoes with your receipt, or you can we'll send you a FedEx box, and you can send them to us, and we'll refund you. So those are my two options. So I looked to see where a Famous Footwear store might be close by. There are some in Kansas City. And I thought, you know, we're going to go see our son here in a couple of weeks to Columbia. And so I happened to see there's a Famous Footwear store right on our way. I mean, just a stone's throw off of 470 up there in Kansas City, I'll just stop in there and hopefully get an exchange of shoes. And that's what I tried to do. I walked into the store with a pair of shoes, explained to the cashier what had happened. This shoe is missing an insole. I've been in touch with your parent company, and this is what they've told me to do. And she calls her manager over. The manager looks at the shoes, and she says, "You've worn these shoes." I said, no, I've not worn them. And she says, "Yes, you have. You've worn these shoes." And she's turned the shoe over, and there's, there's some dust on the shoe or something that she's seeing that I'm not seeing. And she's telling me that I have worn these shoes and I'm now trying to exchange them. And all of a sudden, I became very unlamb-like. I said, "Ma'am, don't tell me I've worn these shoes because I've not worn them." And she said, "Yes, you have worn them." I couldn't believe it. She takes my receipt in a huff and goes over to the phone, and she calls the manager of the store in Colorado. And I'm thinking, what good is that going to do? And she's on the phone to this manager in Colorado, and she says, "I have a customer standing here who's bought a pair of shoes from your store, and he's worn them, and now he's trying to give them back to me." And I became unlamb-like again. And I said to her as she's on the phone to the person in Colorado, "Ma'am, I have not worn those shoes." And we're both mad at each other by this time. And I end up getting a new pair of shoes. They had the same shoe, same size, but very reluctantly she did business with me. And as she was checking me out, unhappy with me, I noticed a scripture tattoo on her arm. And I looked to see what kind of shirt I had on. Did I have a Christian's t-shirt on? Because we had had this exchange and it wasn't real lamb-like. I didn't have a Christian t-shirt on. I think I had a KU shirt on. But as I walked out the store that day with my pair of shoes in hand, I was feeling some conviction in my heart that I hadn't been really lamb-like. Now, that doesn't mean we have to be weak. I'm not saying that at all. It doesn't mean we have to be weak. But I think in those kinds of situations, we're all put in those kinds of situations every day where we are going to have a choice of whether we respond to those people like a lamb in tenderness and love, or whether we're going to respond like a lion or with a clenched fist. And I can guarantee you it is going to make an impact on those people whom we respond to. The person who blows their horn at us, are we going to lay on our horn back at them, or are we going to be like Jesus would have us to be? Just wave and smile. I'm not talking about waving with the middle finger, but I'm talking about being God's child, knowing that we have a choice to make, and we need to make the right choice, the choice that will give Him honor in that situation. We were at a restaurant recently and had waited quite a while to get a table. We finally did get a table. Then we had to wait quite a while for the waitress to come and get our order. Once we gave her our order, I bet it was 45 minutes before the food came. was on its way. But then the waitress, I don't know what happened, she dropped both plates of food. I didn't see it happen. She came and she told us what she had done. She dropped both plates. I don't know if she ran into somebody or what happened, but she said it's going to be a while longer before your food comes. And at that point, I had a choice as to how I was going to respond. You've been there, haven't you, in that situation? I had a choice as to whether I was going to respond with lamb power or with a clenched fist. And thankfully, that time I tried the lamb power. And you know what? It was so much better. I mean, in the first place, I felt better. And I know my wife felt better. And the waitress felt better. And I don't know who might have been watching. But I think God was honored in my response that day. And who knows, maybe she'll show up at church someday. I hope so. We gave her a tip. We gave her a nice tip. And we responded with lamb power rather than, come on, how we've been here for an hour. That wouldn't have made any friends. And it certainly wouldn't have given God any honor. Now, please understand, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back on how I responded in that situation, because God knows how many times I've responded differently. My kids, they have a story about, they have a dad story. You know? And Cindy's shaking her head. She knows exactly what I'm talking about. We were in Boulder, Colorado a number of years ago at an Applebee's in the afternoon, probably 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we'd had our order given and waiting. I'd downed my Dr. Pepper already. I was hoping for a refill, and that gal, she wasn't anywhere to be seen. There wasn't anybody else in the restaurant, and she's over there across the way, just in La La Land. I needed her. I was and couldn't get her attention. I got her attention eventually. Embarrassed my family to death. And they still bring this story up. Remember, Dad? Yeah, I remember. They don't forget it. A week ago, we had all three of our kids in and out of the house at different times, along with their families. It was a great week, and we enjoyed them so much. But that kind of a week puts so much more stress on Cindy to cook meals. And sometimes things can go awry. We were getting ready to sit down to a meal, and she informed me that somehow the microwave had gotten turned on and there was no food in the microwave, and now the microwave wasn't working. And I looked at the microwave, and it was just, I mean, it was completely shut down, no light, even with the door open. I said, it must be a breaker. So I went out and I checked the breaker. Oh, it was on. I started seeing these dollar bills in my eyes. You know, I know that appliance was $500 to $600, and I put it in, and it was a hard job for me to put in. And I'm just thinking about it. How long was the microwave on with nothing in it? Oh, 10 minutes maybe. And so I had an opportunity to respond like a lamb or like this. And so, you know, God's growing us. I responded like a lamb. I said, you didn't mean to do it. Let's eat. And we all sat down. And I know for sure the environment around that table would have been different had I responded like this, rather with lamb power. I mean, we had an enjoyable meal together, and we're laughing, and we're just enjoying each other, and the food was delicious. But I know it would have been different had I responded the other way. And I know she appreciated it, and I think maybe my kids might have noticed. I know God noticed. And it was nice when the microwave, about midway through the meal, snapped back on. I guess it had some kind of a protective switch in it that shut it down. Every one of us are put in these kinds of situations. Maybe even each day. But certainly often we are put in these kinds of situations where we have the choice of responding with lamb power or with a clenched fist. And victory is more often achieved in day-to-day living when you respond in lamb power than with a clenched fist. I can tell you for sure, relationships are better when you respond with lamb power. Husband and wife relationship is better when you respond with lamb power. Father-son relationships are better when you respond with lamb power. Sibling relationships are better when you respond with lamb power. The same is true with neighbor relationships and co-worker relationships, and friendships are better and longer lasting when you respond with lamb power as opposed to a clenched fist. And let me just add this too. Church member relationships are a whole lot better when you respond to each other with lamb power. In Sunday school, for about 3 to 4 weeks, we've been studying out of Ephesians chapter 4, and the emphasis has been upon the unity of the Spirit. The teaching was simply this: unity is born out of a spirit of humility and gentleness and patience and forbearance with each other. Let me read to you from Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 3. It says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Again, my point is simply this. Lamb power will get you so much further down the road with people than a clenched fist will. And lamb power, when you practice it, it will give you an opportunity to point people to the true Lamb of God. And somebody may be sitting out there and wanting to ask this question, "Kevin, what in the world does all of this have to do with Revelation?" Not much. Other than it is a point of application that I think we all need to hear. John looks to see a lion, who's ready to tear people apart from limb to limb, tear his enemies apart from limb to limb, and he looks and he sees a lamb as if slain. And I think the whole point is victory is through the Lamb who has given himself as a sacrifice for us. And if we can't learn something from that, it's our own fault. Is that convicting to you like it is to me? It is. I needed this. Maybe you need it too. Let me give you a fourth point from chapter 5 of Revelation. There will come a day when the Lion of Judah will be a lion rather than a lamb. In other words, there will come a day when his wrath will be poured out and there will be no resemblance of a lamb at that point. He will have the last word to his enemies. Now, thankfully, those of us who are in Christ, we don't have to have that worry because we're covered by His grace. His grace is greater than our sin. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I love this passage. It says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. He's a new creature. The old things are passed away. New things have come. I've got good news for you. If you are in Christ, He doesn't even see your sins. They're gone. They're washed away by the blood of the Lamb. I've been painting my house. It's kind of been a summer project, a project in works all summer long. Thankfully, I'm about to the finish line. But boy, when I get that paintbrush in my hand or that roller and I'm painting, when I'm done, I don't know about you, but I'm a messy painter. And I got to get my hands washed. I got to get the paint washed off of my hands. Well, not only am I a messy painter, I'm just a messed up person. I have a messy life. Maybe you do too. We need washed. We need cleaned up. And that's a picture of what Jesus has done for us. He washes us. Our sins are gone because we have been washed in the blood. The old hymn says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so my question is, have you been washed by the blood of the Lamb? Have you gone down to the river to be baptized? And are you continually being washed clean by your repentance before Him? If so, then you have no worries about that final day. Because you've been cleaned. You've been washed by Jesus. His grace has you covered. But if you have never surrendered to Him, then one day His patience is going to run out and He will be like a lion. And He will have the last say. And no one wants to experience His wrath. It's too great. It's too much to bear. Let me read to you a few verses of warning. 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9 says, He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. That's why I'm continually encouraging you to obey the gospel. It says they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10, let me read it to you, verses 28 through 31. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I read that kind of a scripture and I think, that sounds serious. It sounds serious. We do not want to be in a position where we have never said yes to Jesus and stand before him and have to give an account about that. And then from the book of Revelation, there's plenty of warnings. Let me read some of them to you. Chapter 20, verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. We better be figuring out how it is that we get our name in the book of life, because we don't want the lake of fire. You say, tell me. Give your life to Jesus. That's how you get your name in the book of life. You give your life to Jesus. You surrender to him. Let me read to you verse 20, chapter 21, verses 6 through 8. Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the springs of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." And chapter 22, verses 12 through 17, Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to render to every man according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the immoral persons and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost." We want to be on the winning team, because the one who is on the losing team is going to lose big. The Lion of Judah will have the last say. And so my question is, do you know him? Are you in relationship with him? If you're not, we're going to sing an invitation hymn like we do every Sunday, and we invite you to come. If you're not in relationship with Jesus, we're here to help you with that. All you got to do is just come to the front. We'll talk. We'll set up a time to get with you. Make sure you're in relation, that you know what you need to do to give your life to Jesus. And it's your choice. Let's pray together. O Lamb of God, thank you for coming and taking away the sins of the world, those who look to you. And Lord, if there's even one here today that's outside of you, may this message have spoken to them. And I'm so thankful for your grace. Lord, we don't have to worry about your wrath. Because of your grace, it's greater. And so, thank you that you have invited us to come and take of the living water and drink it. I know the world's thirsty. I don't even know what they're thirsty for. Help us to help them know. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.